Welcome to another episode of Thinking Like a Bank, where we show you how to think like a bank by applying the same strategies and principles that banks use to help you find more financial freedom in your life. I'm your host, Sari Ibrahim. Today, I'm interviewing Dustin Heiner. Dustin is the founder of Master Passive Income, Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference, and Successfully Unemployed. He is a real estate investor who was able to make enough passive income from his business to quit his job when he was 37 years old. With his podcast, YouTube channel, books, courses, and coaching, he now helps other people quit their job by investing in real estate rental properties to live the dream life. Dustin, welcome to our podcast.
Hey, Sari. Thank you so much for being open to have me on the show. I really love talking about real estate. I mean, it's so much fun. In fact, it's not necessarily real estate, even though that's terrific. It's what it affords me to do in my life, you know, being financially independent. I like the term successfully unemployed, basically found a way to provide for myself and my family without working that dead end job or that just over broke job. And then, you know, go to the gym, hang out with the family, and then come on podcasts and talk to great people like you. So I really appreciate you having me on the show.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. I'm looking forward to interviewing you. And you actually just mentioned a really good point. You mentioned it's not just the real estate, but it's the passive income. So real estate is just like a tool, right? So I think that's like something a lot of people get caught up on, like the title of the thing they're doing. And it's really not about that. It's about what that thing is doing for you, right?
100%. And when I realized, as I became an investor, and I realized how much time I was putting towards my quote unquote job, you know, everybody works a job and 40 plus hours a week. But as soon as you're able to quit that and then start putting in effort into building your own businesses, investing, or whatever it might be, you realize you have 40 plus hours of your life back that you could do whatever you want. And imagine if money wasn't the need in your life. Like you had enough money for your bills, you had enough money to do whatever you want. Then you can literally go out and, let's say, travel the world, serve people or whatever. But it's the freedom. For me, it's the freedom to be able to do whatever I want with my time. And then having the time, because I'm not working for somebody else, to do everything that I want.
Yeah, I think it's definitely the most important asset or thing to own is your time, right? But I assume it wasn't always like this for you, right? So do you mind sharing with us like how you got into this, more about your background, how you found out about like using real estate as a passive form of income, and what brought you here today?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So I definitely didn't start that way. In fact, I started just like everybody. We start being taught this plan, quote unquote plan, that we need to follow. So you go to school, you get good grades. Then you get those good grades and you go to college or university, you get even more good grades, and you get in thousands and thousands of dollars into debt. Yeah. And then you get a piece of paper, it's called a degree, and you go to companies, and you try to shop around to try to get a quote unquote career, work 40 plus years of life and retire when you're 70 years old, and hopefully live on what you managed to save that entire time you're working that just over broke job. Well, I'm doing that exact same thing. But at the same time, I've also been entrepreneurial, very entrepreneurial in my life. And so I started many businesses, everything from a newspaper route. That's where you ride around on a bike at 5 a.m. and throw newspapers at 5 a.m., banging them on garage doors. Had a graphic and website design company, skateboarding manufacturing business. I even had a convenience store and a pizzeria. Like started these all from the scratch, from the ground up, yeah. Built those, but I'm still working that dead end job because that's what I've been taught. That's what I know. And I bought one rental property at the time. And I bought one rental property. I remember, Sari, it was as plain as day. That check that I got from my property manager, it was $317. That was all the expenses covered. That was the money that I made for that property. I thought, my goodness, I need to be an investor. But you know how it happens. Like life starts getting in the way. So yeah. Started going through life and, you know, working that dead end 9-to-5, you know, desk job. My wife started having children. And so we started having 1, 2, 3. And by the time we had our fourth child, and this is a story of what really shoved me to become a real estate investor. I wanted to be an investor, but life got in the way. So when my wife had her fourth child, I went on paternity leave. That's where the dad stays home with the mom, changes poopy diapers and bonds with the baby and all that good stuff. And so I'm home for about a week, maybe 2 weeks at most, and I go back to work. And in that same week that I go back to work, I get a call from my boss's secretary on a Friday at 3:30 in the afternoon. And she says, Dustin, would you please come to the office? I said, sure. And I hung up the phone. I paused for a second. I thought, why in the world they call me in the office? Like, this isn't normal. And I've seen plenty of movies. Friday at 3:30 in the afternoon is not a good sign at all. And then I started remembering a couple months before I went on paternity leave, there were some rumors or some rumbling going on that there could potentially be layoffs in the county. I got the most stable job ever. I was working at local county government in California doing technology. So most stable I could ever think of. So I immediately shook it off. I said, there's no way I'm going to get laid off or, you know, lose my job because I have plenty of seniority. It's the government and all that sort of stuff. So I get up. I walk down the hallway to my boss's office. Now, this hallway isn't very long. In fact, it's kind of short, but every single step that I took, it felt like the hallway got longer and longer and longer. And it felt like my feet became lead bricks because the weight of potentially losing my job was starting to come down on me. Well, I get down the hallway and I turn the corner. I see my boss's door. His door is closed and I see a secretary there, super sweet, nice old lady. She's kind of, you know, sheepishly grinning at me, trying to console me with her eyes because she knows everything about what's going on. I know nothing about what's going on. And she says, Dustin, would you please have a seat? So I go and I take my seat and I start thinking about my life. If I get laid off right now, everything that I've been told, this path that I've been told, did I just waste my life doing this? And then I started, oh my goodness, I realized if I don't have money to provide for my family, does that make me a failure as a father, a failure as a man trying to provide for his family? Well, as I'm sitting there, my hands get all clammy. My forehead gets all sweaty because the nerves and everything is just crushing down on me. Well, the door to my boss's office opens up and out walks a lady, a coworker of mine, with a piece of paper in her hands. She is noticeably distraught. She's noticeably upset, not necessarily crying, but you could tell her world's been rocked. Well, she passes by me and my boss says, Dustin, would you please come to the office? So I get up and I go into his office and I get laid off. And remember, this is the government. Nobody gets fired or laid off from the government, but I did. This is the reason why I tell the story. So hopefully you learn from my mistakes. Yeah. So I take that layoff notice and I go back to my desk and I sit down and I realize two things sitting there at my desk right then and there. Number one, I need to get another job. I need to get another job to be able to provide for my family. So I was really blessed, praise the Lord, to find another job in the same county. Another department wasn't having the same issues. So check, got a job. That was great. But the second thing, sitting in that chair, just getting laid off, I realized that I need to make sure I never let this happen to me again. I need to make sure that nobody has the ability to take away my ability to feed my family. So right then and there, I knew I needed to be an investor. But life got in the way. I said, no more would I ever let life get in the way. From now on, I am going to tell everybody that I'm an investor. You know, whenever we get that question, what do you do? I would, like everybody, would reply, oh, I do IT work for the county. I'm basically projecting the value that I put on myself as coming from my job. No, my value doesn't come from my job. My value comes from my God and from myself and from my family. Mm-hmm. So right then and there, I started telling everybody I'm an investor. It may so happen that 100% of my money comes from my job. That's now my part-time job. I am a full-time investor. So fast forward the story, started buying property after property after property, each one making me $250 or more. That's the minimum, $250 or more in passive income. Eventually, I had 30 plus properties and I realized, my goodness, even though I'm making $75,000 a year at this job, I'm losing money because my time now should be made to where I'm making my own value. So last part of the story, I went to my new boss, great boss and all. And I said, boss, here's your 2 weeks notice. I'm laying you off. And you know, we joked and everything. And he said, well, Dustin, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I don't have to do anything. I literally own real estate that makes me money while I sleep. So last part of the story, if you remember that story of why I walked down the hallway, that short hallway that got longer and longer and longer, and my feet became like lead bricks. Well, I walked from my office the very last time. I've taken this walk 1,000 times. It was a 1.5-mile walk downtown. I didn't want to pay for parking, but I've taken this walk 1,000 times. This last time, I felt like I was walking on clouds because I knew I would never, ever need a job again because I have investments that make me money. And everybody listening, you need to realize that your boss is not paying you what you're worth. In fact, nobody can ever pay you what you're worth. And this is how you'll know this. Your boss is paying you just enough to keep you working without quitting, but not so much money that takes money out of their pocket. If they paid you what you're worth, they would go broke. So instead, get paid what you're worth by you creating your own value in whatever it is, a business, real estate investing. I personally love real estate investing because I do work one time and I make money over and over again in passive income. And so if you realize your value is so much more than anybody could ever pay you, that's when you pull yourself out of the system and then you start making passive income. So I'll pause the story because you probably got plenty of questions.
No, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a great story. Thank you for sharing that. I wouldn't be surprised if your boss was like, "How can I do this too? You know, how can I get out of this
you
too?"
You are.
know what?
You're 100% right. In fact, one even step further than that. The day I was leaving, he actually got me in the office with my coworkers and said, "Hey, go ahead and explain how you're doing this." And I was like, "All right." That was the impetus of me now teaching and coaching. It was like people were asking me, "How are you quitting your job?" I'm like, "Well, I invest in real estate." And the second question is always, "Will you show me?" And I'm like, "Okay." So I start teaching people one-on-one, but it takes so much time teaching people one-on-one. So fast forward, you know, wrote a book and started a podcast and coaching people and all this sort of stuff. But yes, absolutely. He said, "Can you show me how to do it?"
Right. And then it brings an interesting point too. Like when you have one W-2 job, right? It's like you have one, that's like having one client and then that client can just drop you. Like you can get laid off. Like in your situation, it had nothing to do with your performance. It was just somebody at the top, you know, had this decision of cutting money somewhere and you happened to be you at that time. Like many other people, especially as we're recording this right now in the beginning of 2023, I think it's like, what, like 50,000 people have been laid off in the last month or so amongst the top companies, like big financially stable companies. So yeah, definitely it makes a lot of sense to diversify your sources of income, like have your W-2, but also have other sources of income. And then like you mentioned, like, so with you, you have a course now, is that how it works? Like you teach people how to find real estate, how to get into this. What are some things, like, let's just say I come to you and say, "Hey, Dustin, I'm brand new to this. I don't have that much money. I only have, let's just say, just to use an even number, $5,000 to invest in real estate." Like, what are some things you could tell me to get started today in real estate?
Yeah, absolutely. So it started with just giving out all the information from my books. I literally just gave away my book to the podcast. My podcast is usually, I mean, it's just a solo show. It's literally me just giving away all this content. And so when people started wanting my time though, and doing coaching, that's when I started, okay, well, I got to create a course. Now I have coaching. Now I have group coaching where I have hundreds of students. We all jump on Zoom calls and I coach them through it. But so if somebody were brand new and they want to get started, basically, the thing is, we want to build the business first. And the wrong thing is to find the property first and then buy the property. In fact, let me quickly give you the wrong way to do it. And this is the way that I did it. I started investing back in 2006. I had no clue what I was doing. I was watching TV late at night. It was one of those late night infomercials come on and said, "Hey, we're going to do a seminar, free 2-hour seminar on real estate investing. We're coming to your town." I'm like, great. So I was excited. I went to that 2-hour seminar. It was all hype, all sales pitch for another 2-day seminar where they spent thousands of dollars. Okay, now run to the back and go spend thousands, which I did. Well, what they taught in that was, number one, it was all sales pitch for more, like a $50,000 course, an $80,000 course. It was just horrible. But what they did teach was a little bit in how to invest. And so I took what they told me, and I did that. And my property manager started stealing from me within 6 months. And so let me quickly give you the broad overview of the wrong way, but then I want you to quickly forget it because I'll give you the right way. If you're brand new, this is what you got to do. So this is what they're going to tell you. The gurus, quote unquote gurus, will tell you. See, I'm an investor. I'm not a guru. I'm literally an investor just sharing out what I do. What they're going to say is you find a property anywhere in the country, and then you run the numbers. That means calculate your expenses, make sure you could rent it for $25 or $50 more in passive income. Remember, this is 2006. So they were also saying, but you're going to get appreciation. So you're going to love appreciation, which I'll pause this and say, I don't invest in appreciation. In fact, all my properties, I will literally give these properties to my kids. So it doesn't matter if the value goes up. I make money every single month from these properties. Now, remember, it's find a property anywhere in the country, run the numbers, make $25 and get appreciation. Then spend thousands of dollars to buy the property, then spend thousands of dollars to fix up the property, and then find a tenant, and then find a property manager. Well, in my opinion, that's just about backwards. I did that, and my property manager started stealing from me within 6 months. And I have so many people that come to me and say, "Dustin, I did this, and I went to find a property manager, and I called around, and property managers would tell me, no, they would not manage a property because they get shot there because it's a bad area." Like, yes, I know it happens to everybody, and reason why is because now you no longer have an asset anymore. You have a liability. So this liability is now going to be costing you money. Now, that's the wrong way. So let's quickly forget that. Let me give you the right way. If you're brand new getting started in this, the right way is to build the business first. Now, remember, I've said from the very beginning, I've always been entrepreneurial, starting businesses. I love starting businesses. And so when my property manager started stealing from me that first time, if I would just hung my head and said, "Oh, this doesn't work," and just give up, I wouldn't be here today. But what I did realize was people have done it in the past. There's got to be a right way. I love business. Let me approach this from a business mindset. Let me give you an example of what that looks like. So if you're going to start a convenience store, you know, a convenience store, candy bars, soda machines, and all that good stuff. Well, you're not going to sign a lease on a location, open the doors, and set a box of candy bars in on the ground. No, you wouldn't do that. In fact, you go out of business in 2 seconds. What you would do, though, is you would build the business first. You get the gondolas, the shelving units, all the candy bars go on. You get the countertops, the cold storage, bank accounts, cash registers, employees, everything in the business before you buy any inventory. Same thing with real estate investing. You build the entire business, and every property that you buy, that property is not your business. That property is your inventory. Mm-hmm. That's why we buy a piece of property, then we put it into our business as inventory. That's how we're able to scale our business so fast. Now, here's the big key. When we build the business, we hire experts who literally live and work there on the ground. Imagine if you did everything the wrong way, the quote unquote gurus tell you, and you go around and start calling property managers. Hey, property managers, I bought this property, spent thousands of dollars buying it, fixing it up. Will you manage it? And them say no, then you have a liability, no more asset. But if instead you call the property manager, say, hey, property manager, I'm looking to buy this property. Tell me, how much will it rent for? What type of clientele would I have? What's the vacancy factor? Will you manage it? If they come back and say, no, I won't manage it, then move on. Next property. You didn't waste all that time and money. Now, if they say, well, you could rent it for this much, this is the vacancy factor type of clientele, and yes, we won't manage it. In fact, you'll get experts. Experts are the ones going to be saying, oh, yes, I know that area. In fact, that block where that house is located, we have a house that's three blocks away. We were trying to get $1,400. Zillow said $1,400, but Zillow's not an expert. Redfin, Trulia, like those are websites. Yeah. The experts say, we tried to get $1,400, but we couldn't. We can only get $1,300. That is expert information that's going to help you run your numbers and make sure that you're making money every single month in passive income. My suggestion, last thing I'll say, because I probably got questions, is when you're doing this, you build the business first, then we make sure we make money every single month in passive income. My suggestion, $250 or more in passive income. And this is how I was able to scale my business and be able to quit my job and be successfully an employee. If you buy one property at $250 a month, that's $3,000 a year without working. 10 properties at $250 a month, $2,500 a month in passive income, $30,000 a year. 20 properties is $5,000 a month without working, $60,000 a year. That's what we do, is we build the business, buy the inventory, put it into our business, and make sure that scales, making us money every single month. Does that all make sense?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah, and I think that you mentioned something really important. A lot of people think that like buying a rental property or getting into real estate is different from like owning a business. Like those are two separate things. In reality, it's the same thing.
It's
like
the same thing.
A real estate investor, number one, before being a real estate investor, is a business owner. You're an entrepreneur. You have a business. And then within your business, you have real estate or other businesses or other assets or whatever. But the point is, like, number one, you're a business owner and you need to make business decisions and not real estate decisions. It's not about rental income or what property or what location. It's about, number one, running your business. And another thing too I want to add to is, if you're making $50,000 or $60,000 a year in passive income from real estate, you have to think about it this way. Compare that to a W-2 job that's making $50,000 or $60,000 a year. Let's talk about taxes, right? So like you could be, if you're a full-time real estate professional, like according to the IRS, real estate professional status, and you're making 60 grand a year, you could potentially save all that money versus 60,000 a year from W-2. So there's also a huge tax incentive for getting into real estate.
Absolutely. On top of that, actually, here's what I love to share this. When I buy one property, I make money in six different ways. The first way, we had talked about passive income. You know, I make sure that I make it a minimum of 250. In fact, the properties that I bought in 2006, 7, 8, 9, 10, and so on, they're making me $500, $600, $700, $800, even $1,000 a month in passive income, because over time, rents go up. So passive income, number one, rents minus expenses are passive income. Next one, we do equity capture. When I buy the property, I don't pay market value. I don't overpay market value. That's homeowners. They do that. They're silly. They're going to pay 10% of their asking price. I don't. I make sure I capture equity. So I try to buy it for, let's say, 10, 15, maybe even 20% of what the market value is. So I capture that equity. Another one is forced appreciation. Let's say I buy a house that needs some work, painting and carpeting and, you know, new landscaping, all that sort of stuff. Well, let's say I put $5,000 into it, but it makes it worth $15,000 more. That's $10,000 more that it's worth because I put equity into it. Next thing tax benefits, which you 100% hit right on the tax benefits. Depreciation is amazing. I love depreciation. Mm-hmm. It shows the IRS that I make very little because I have so much depreciation. On top of that, my cell phone's a business expense. My office is my business expense. Traveling to go view properties like in Hawaii, that's a business expense. All this sort of stuff is business expense. Another way is market appreciation. We know over time with inflation and everything, market value just goes up over time. So that's another way. Another fantastic way is, and you'll get this, Sari. So I personally do not, I don't pay my taxes on any of my properties. I don't pay my mortgage. I don't pay for my insurance. I don't pay for my property manager. I don't pay for my payers. I don't pay for any of that stuff. I don't even pay for my manager. My tenants pay for all of that. I don't buy a property unless those are accounted for. Like people ask me a question, well, Dustin, how do you afford a property manager? I say, well, I don't. My tenants pay for it. I don't buy a property unless it's accounted for. Same thing with my mortgage. This is the sixth way, mortgage buy down. I don't buy the property unless it makes me money, number one. But number two, over the years, I don't pay the interest or the principal or any fees. My tenants pay that over time. So I might put, let's say, 5% down, 10% down, whatever it might be, but the balance and the interest is paid for by my tenants. So this is six ways that we make money investing. And so it's literally no brainer for me. Like I cashed out my 401k, IRAs, I cashed it all out because I make so much more money investing in real estate.
Absolutely. And you control the asset. When you have money in 401ks and IRAs, you don't control them. Wall Street controls them. And they charge you a lot of money to control your assets.
They totally do.
Yeah. Well, Dustin, so tell us more about how listeners can connect with you and a little bit of like a walkthrough of like what can they expect by reaching out to you?
Oh, totally. Actually, I have a free course. I just love helping people. Do you mind if I share that with everybody?
Absolutely. Please do. Yeah.
Awesome. So I want to give you my free course, literally show you everything, nuts and bolts, how to do all this stuff. If you text the word rental, R-E-N-T-A-L, rental to 33777. Rental to 33777. I'll literally give it to you. You can even go to masterpassiveincome.com/free course. All one word, masterpassiveincome.com/free course. I'll literally give it to you. Show you how to find anywhere in the country to invest. We invest out of state. I have like four or five states that we invest in personally. So how to scale the business, how to build the business, how to quit your job. You could even find me. I even have my own podcast, the Master Passive Income Podcast. It's usually a solo show, me just giving out all this content on how to do this investing. And on top of that, you can go to YouTube channel, Master Passive Income as well. Now, if you're going to work with me, I love giving all of my students principles. I don't want to give them a fish. I want to teach them how to fish. Like they say, well, where do I invest? Well, let's try to find a spot so you can do it in the future. But now, honestly, Sari, it's been so awesome. I've coached hundreds, now closer to thousands of students now, that all the students have done so much work on their own to find areas, property managers, mortgage brokers, hard money lenders, all this stuff, that I've got their information. And now I have a list of things that these students have already done, like from contractors to mortgage brokers and all that sort of stuff. And my new students, they like go to the list and say, oh, where do I invest? Oh, they go through the list of all these already curated things. One quick last thing is I have a conference that I put on. This is just me wanting to give back. I put on a conference called the Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference, RUBCON for short, REWBCON.com, RUBCON.com. And this is our second year doing it. It's going to be in person 3 days here in Phoenix. I have over 40 speakers, and these are expert investors who have their own audiences, their own coaching students, their own everything. And so everything from multifamily to storage units to Airbnb to commercial, everything. So this conference is literally created to help other investors. It's not one of those sales pitch conferences like they say, run to the back. It's all about giving and community. So if you want to go, I'd love to see you there. Use a promo code podcast. I'll know you came from Sari's show. Use a promo code podcast and I'll give you 10% off your ticket. I just want to see people invest in real estate. It's all about giving back to the community of investors, showing them how to be successful. 40 plus friends of mine that are expert investors coming together to give out all this information. But yeah, they also, one last thing.
Yeah.
Instagram, the Dustin Heiner, THE Dustin Heiner. I'm not that arrogant. It's the only handle I could come up with, but I DM me on there. I love answering questions and everything, but no, it's been great just helping people, but I really appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks, Dustin. I'll be sure to add in all the links, the text number, everything, all the links you mentioned in the show notes below so that our listeners can just connect with you. And I'm looking forward to having you back on the podcast.
Anytime, man. Anytime. I'll be there.
Thanks, Dustin. To learn more about what we do and how we can help you grow more wealth, please visit www.finassetprotection.com. That's F-I-N, assetprotection.com. The topics presented in this podcast are for general information only and not for the purposes of providing legal, accounting, or investment advice. On such matters, please consult a professional who knows your specific situation.